scriptures taken from Ephesians 3 of verses 14 to 19. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit and in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
エフェソ人への手紙3章14節から19節を日本語でお読みします。こういうわけで私は膝をかがめ、天上と地上で家族と呼べるすべてのものの名の元である父の前に祈ります。どうか父がその栄光の豊かさに従い、御霊により力を持ってあなた方の内なる人を強くしてくださいますように。こうしてキリストがあなた方の信仰によってあなた方の心の内に住んでいてくださいますように。また愛に根ざし、愛に基礎を置いているあなたがすべての生徒とともに、その広さ、長さ、高さ、深さがどれほどであるか理解する力を持つようになり、人知をはるかに超えたキリストの愛を知ることができますように。こうして神ご自身の満ち満ちたまさにまであなた方が満たされますように。
Good morning. How are you doing? You guys finished your taxes yet?
Yes.
Really? Wow. I'm the only one. Okay. I'll get on that soon. Well, let's pray for tax rebates, tax returns, and mercy on tax. Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk about the power of God's love. And as we've just read in our scripture passage, it talks about Paul is praying for the people in Ephesus that they would have power to grasp God's love. How wide, how long, how deep. And his love, he says, let me just read that again. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. We've been talking about the power that is available for us, and it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And one of the reasons for that power is, according to Paul, is so that we could grasp God's love. Let me read that. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And the reason why he wants us to be strengthened with power in our inner beings is so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide, long, high, deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. 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 So God is, Paul is praying for the people in Ephesus that they would have power for a couple of things. And one of the things he was praying for is that they may be able to grasp God's love. And when we grasp God's love, Paul says this in 13:9. It says that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amazing, isn't it? That you may be filled to the full measure of God. When we are able to grasp God's love, that love has power to fill us to the full measure of Christ. And until we're able to grasp God's love in that way, we will not be filled, I believe, to the full measure of Christ. It's kind of like the story of the prodigal son. You guys know that story, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's in Luke chapter 15. And I won't talk about this story so much, but I want us to read that real quick. Luke 15 from verse 11. And this is about a son that goes astray and comes back and receives his father's love, which is a picture of God's love for us. So let me read that from Luke 15, verses 11 on. Jesus continued, he's talking about the kingdom of God. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him out to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Amen. This is a picture of God's love for us. This is a picture of a lost person coming back to his father, thinking his father will condemn him, thinking his father will yell at him, thinking his father will make him a servant, hoping just to be a part of that family. And what did the father do? He puts a robe on him. He gives him a signet ring, which means an authority to... It's like an ATM card. He gives an ATM card to his son. Puts sandals on his feet, kisses him, and throws a big celebration for him. Paul in Ephesians is saying, I want these people to know that kind of love that will put his clothes on him. God's love that is so high and deep and wide and long that we would realize that when we come to the Father in full submission, he is willing to give us practically everything. His Holy Spirit. And throw a big party for us. I just want to point out that we can be filled to the fullness of God only when we grasp God's love. And the God and God's love is beyond our comprehension. So we will continually be grasping His love. Amen. Mm-hmm. It's not like, okay, today I grasp God's love finally. Especially after my sermon. Maybe if someone really good was here, you might say that. But we will never, on this side of earth, fully be able to grasp it. We will continue to grasp it, and it will continue to amaze us, and it will continue to confound us, and it will continue to grow in us. But we must start now to grasp it. But it takes power to grasp God's love, too. That's why Paul was saying, I pray that you would have power to grasp God's love, because it's just so amazing. Now I want to talk about God's love. To grasp it, it really needs a transformation in us first. We really need to be transformed first before we could grasp God's love. Meaning, just like in the story of the prodigal son, the prodigal son, although God always loved him, and God always, you know, his love for us is always available. John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And that was before we knew him, right? That was before we asked him into our lives. He still loved us prior to that. But what I'm trying to say is this, just like the prodigal son, even though the father always loved the son, he was not able to fully receive the fullness of his father's love because of his position. He was in a foreign country, he was lost, he was attending pigs, and in his mind, if you remember the parable, in his mind he thought to himself, my God, my father must really hate me right now for what I did, because I did a really wrong thing. You guys ever feel that way? Come on, be honest. You guys ever feel like, oh, God must hate me right now? We can grieve God. I'm not saying God does not get angry, but his love for us, we can never exhaust his love for us. That's what I'm trying to say. His love is so wide, so long, so high, so deep. We will never exhaust God's love. I'm not saying God will never get angry at us, but we will never exhaust his love for us. But just like that prodigal son who was lost, his position in life, where he was, it blocked him from knowing his father's love. And a lot of times, whether you're Christian or not, especially non-believers, but even while we are Christians, it's easy to be in an attitude where we are not receiving God's love. And when we're in that place, God cannot pull the fullness of his love into us, and that we would not become the fullness of Christ. Am I making sense? All right, to some people, all right. Jesus gives us a very powerful spiritual principle in Matthew 9:17. He says this, people do not pour new wine into old wineskin. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. That is a spiritual principle. Although in the context, he's talking about praying and fasting. This is, I believe, a spiritual principle where God will not pour out anything into our lives if it will hurt us. Because he's a loving God, amen? And a lot of times, new wine symbolizes just God's blessing, his spirit, newness of the fullness of Christ, if you will. I don't know too much about how they used to preserve wine, but apparently they used animal skin to put wine in, right? That's what this parable is trying to say. And you put new wine into new animal skin, the animal skin is able to expand as the wine expands, because apparently as wine ferments, it expands. And as that happens, new wineskin has its elasticity, the ability to stretch, okay? Elasticity. Okay, good. Thank you, Phil. You help Hito in Japanese and you're helping me in English. You are just an amazing person, Phil. And Jesus said, and you can't do that with old wineskin. Old animal skin, after a while, it gets hard and brittle, and if you put new wine into it, as the wine ferments and expands, it will break the wineskin, and it will just ruin the wineskin and the wine. I believe Jesus is here is trying to say, he will not do certain things in our lives until we are changed. And certain things we shouldn't do in our lives until we are changed. God will not pour out his fullness, his blessing, his anointing, the fullness of Christ, until some things change.
sometimes. Does that make sense? Certain ministries sometimes, they might have been a blessing 10 years ago. But if you don't change that, it's easy to think the blessing was in the ministry rather than the God who blessed it. Whenever we get stuck in a type of just a mechanical way of doing things, it's easy to put the glory in the system. It's easy to put the glory in the old way of thinking instead of giving glory to God. Now, each and every one of us, we have old wineskin. Me, you, all of us. We have something that has blessed us in the past that we're asking God to bless again now that He will not bless. Why? Because it's an old wineskin. If you want God's blessing today, don't use yesterday's wineskin. Because if He does, you'll put the glory in the wineskin instead of the wine. You'll put the glory in the system instead of the God who blessed the system. You'll put the glory in the ministry instead of the God who blessed the ministry. That's called idolatry, by the way. We start doing that. We start worshiping something other than God. It's called idolatry. God does not want us to get into that kind of living, into that kind of worship. So a lot of times He will withhold His blessings, His wine, if you will, His new wine. Now all of us have some kind of old wineskin. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 is very clear that the biggest wineskin we have is ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." Amen. If anyone is in Jesus Christ, Jesus, God gives us a new wineskin. Why? So that He could pour out the fullness of Christ in that new creation. Because in the old self, if He pulled out the fullness of Christ, it would absolutely destroy us and the people around us as well. This passage is amazing. It says, "We are new now." But of course, our newness will be completed later. But we are new now. And only in Christ there is that newness. Only in Christ there is that newness. I need to qualify that statement, only in Christ is our newness, meaning this: once we decide to commit our lives to discipleship through Jesus Christ, to Jesus, that is when we have our new self. When we fully commit to follow Jesus, that is when the new will come. And when we fully commit ourselves to Jesus, in Ephesians 4:22, this is what it tells us to do. Again, Paul tells Christians to do this. It says, "You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." He says a lot of things here. He says, one, put off the old self. Even after we become Christian, for some reason the old self is there. It stays with us. And it takes an intentionality to put it off. It doesn't come off automatically. And until Paul is saying, until you put that old self off, and until you put to death some of these things in your life, until your attitude and mind is renewed, I believe God cannot pull the fullness of Himself in us. Those of us who do not put these things off cannot receive the fullness of God. Those who are nonchalant, saying, oh, I said the sinner's prayer, I'm good. If you're in that category, God is withholding the fullness of what He has for you. He is withholding some of the blessings and the fullness of Christ if you think just because you said a sinner's prayer and just because you were baptized that you're okay. Paul is saying to people who were baptized and who confessed Jesus as Christ, to what? To intentionally put off your old self. To intentionally put on the new self. To intentionally have a new attitude. A new mind. A new way of thinking. Now, today what I want to do, and real quick, I just want to talk about how to practically apply this to your life so that you can position yourself to receive the fullness of God. To how to do this practically. I've been listening to a lot of teachers these days. Just if you're interested, Dallas Willard. Listened to a couple of John MacArthur stuff, just to be balanced. I've listened to some. Who else? A pastor from a church in New York called the Redeemer Church. I forgot what his name was. Tim Keller, not Kazuyo's husband again, this man named Tim Keller. And I stumbled across a man named Yonggi Cho. He is the pastor of what used to be, I don't know if it still is, the largest church in the world. At one point, I think he had 500,000 members. It's a church in Korea. And this man, amongst other things, he's known to be a very, very faithful man in prayer. And he has a teaching on tabernacle prayer. I'm not going to tell you everything he teaches on tabernacle prayer. I think it's a great teaching on prayer. If you're interested, look it up on YouTube or on the internet. It's available. But the first thing he does, and that's what I want to talk about today, is in his tabernacle prayer. So let me just give you a picture of what he does. In his tabernacle prayer, he just pictures the Old Testament tabernacle of God. And he prays according to the different stations in that temple. And the first station he goes to when he prays is the brazen altar. And the brazen altar is where they sacrifice the animals. And he says, in that first station, what I do every morning when I pray is I remind myself of Jesus' sacrifice. Because that's what the brazen altar was resembled. It resembled sacrifice. That's where you came and sacrificed your animals and all these other things. And it was a foreshadowing to Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. And so what Pastor Cho says is, when I go there, I look at the cross. And I begin to praise Him for the cross. And I begin to praise Him for the sacrifice. And then he begins to start declaring and thanking Him for all the benefits of the cross. Now, today I'm not going to talk about all the benefits of the cross. And honestly, I don't know all the benefits of the cross. But I'm going to give you a couple to practically help you to pray through this. One of the things I started doing this is I started praying Romans 5:1. In Romans 5:1 it says, we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what that means is, first, it is through Jesus our Lord. Amen? And everything is through Jesus, meaning everything is given to us through a commitment to discipleship with Jesus and because of His sacrifice on the cross. That's important. A commitment to discipleship to Jesus and because of His sacrifice on the cross. It says, In Jesus, we have been justified, meaning we have been declared righteous. So what do I do every morning? I look at the cross. I imagine it in my head. If you have a picture of the cross, that's fine. I imagine it in my head, and I say, thank you, Jesus, for declaring me righteous. That's important. That's important to do. That's called renewing your mind. It's called changing your attitude to say, thank you, Jesus, for your justification and declaring me righteous. I think a lot of times we walk through life feeling guilty of sin when the cross has justified us. If you are a believer, you have been declared righteous. Amen. That's good news, okay? Because outside of the cross, none of us is righteous. Amen. Nobody outside the cross is righteous. And so I start praying, thank you for the cross. And then the other part of this is, thank you for having peace, Lord, giving me peace with God and the peace of God. So every day I started praying, thank you, Father, for declaring me righteous. Thank you for the peace I have with you. Thank you, Lord, for filling me with peace. And then I started going off and just meditating on that powerful truth that is available for us. This is all the way that we are renewed in our mind. The second one I go to is Galatians 3:13. In Galatians 3:13 it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. And Jesus died on a tree, or a pole, if you will. And it says, the curse of the law has been broken off from us. Because he became a curse for us. So every morning, this is important, every morning after I'm looking at the cross, I start saying, thank you, Lord, for becoming a curse or breaking the curse off of my life. And I start praying the opposite too. I thank you, Lord, that I am a blessing. That I'm a blessing to other people. Because, a lot of times I wonder, man, am I bad luck? You guys ever wonder that? Is that just me? Maybe that's just me. Or maybe since you guys are, most of you are Japanese, maybe you're thinking, oh, maybe this is a bachi. You guys ever think that? No? Yeah, some of you Japanese people do. Maybe this is happening because of bachi. Right? What did Jesus say? What does the Word of God say? He said, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. And you know what? Maybe I go too far and I say, I'm redeemed from every curse. Every power of curse that has been placed on me has been broken. It is null and void. And I am a blessing. And I start saying that. And I start praying that. And I start trying to believe it. You're not going to believe it until you start declaring it and praying it over yourself. It's very important. That's the process of renewing your mind. That's the process of getting rid of old wineskin. I used to think I was bad luck. That's old wineskin. If you think that way, God will not pour His fullness in us because it's dangerous. Going back to that first one, Christ will not pour the fullness of His love if we don't continue to remind ourselves our justification is by faith and not by works. Because once we start thinking, oh, I'm good because of good works, or I must be getting blessed because I'm being a good person, that is very dangerous. That is a dangerous place to be. But if you start realizing I'm blessed because Jesus died for me, because I'm declared righteous by faith, He will not pour out the fullness of Christ until we grasp that. And, this is just the depth, the width, and the height of His love. That He declared us righteous. That He has given us peace. that he has broken a curse, the curse, that he is making us a blessing. That we are a blessing to people. That's right. We are a blessing to people. So when we go into that place, where we, when we go into work, you got to go in thinking, I'm a blessing. This place just got a lot more blessed because of me. When you come into church, you got to say, this place just got a lot more blessed because of me. When you go to work out, this place just got a lot more blessed because of me. Because the power of the curse has been broken off by Jesus becoming a curse for me. And every curse that is in this place is shaking in their boots because of me. Because I am a blessing. And I offend those who curse. And I offend those who have put power in curses. I'll just give you one more. It's in 2 Corinthians 2:8-9. This one is, you know, it's an amazing one. This test God's with love, the heights, depth of his love. 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." And I looked up the context of this just to make sure that this is talking about money. And in context, this is talking about giving. It has everything to do with money. But the point is, since it's in the context of giving, we become rich so that we could become better givers. Amen? We become rich so that we could give more. Not so that we could have a summer winter cabin in Mount Lemmon. You know, not so that we could have more vacation time. But we become rich so we could give more and bless more. And Jesus says, or Paul says clearly in the Word of God, that Jesus became poor so that we may become rich. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus had all the rights to live a kingly life here on earth because he is a king. He is the King of Kings. In fact, Satan offered him that. He offered him all the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus said no. And he became poor so that we can become rich. And I pray that every morning. Along with, you know, peace with God, along with justification, along with being a blessing and the curse being null and void, I start praying to myself, Lord, you became poor so that I could become rich, and I receive that. I receive the riches that you have laid up in store for me, and I have to remind myself, so that I could be a better giver, a more generous giver. And listen, because of Christ, we are richly blessed in every way through his love. And as long as we have the mentality of, oh, I'm supposed to be poor, or, oh, I don't deserve to be rich, or I don't deserve to have God's favor in this area, I don't think God will pour it in on us. But once you start receiving it, once you start declaring it, once you start saying, okay, Lord, this is what you have for me, I'm going to renew my mind and I'm going to position myself. And I'm going to start, I'm going to remove any old wineskin I have. And come into the newness that you have purchased for me. He purchased it for us. Then it will be impossible to receive the fullness that Christ has for us. And so I encourage you, every morning, every day, come before the cross. And just start praying these prayers. Start thanking Him. That is a process of having our mind changed, renewed, and positioning ourselves to receive the fullness God has for us. And as you do that, you'll be amazed at how God will meet you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for the fullness you have made available to us through Christ. Amen. We thank you, Lord. And Father, we just want to get rid of our old wineskins. And Lord, even now, I pray that you would bring revelation to those of us here if we have any kind of old wineskins that you want us to get rid of. Yes, Lord. We thank you so much that these old wineskins were a source of blessing at one time, and we just want to praise you for that, Lord. We thank you and acknowledge you. And we remember the goodness that you poured out into those. And by faith, Lord, as we remember those things, we want to come in and align ourselves to the newness that you have for us. And be prepared to walk by faith and not by sight to receive the fullness you have for us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.